The girls sing their faces off, dance their faces off. It's, yeah.
So they have no face.
They're faceless.
Hello and welcome back to Ticket A42 for February 2016. My name is John O'Hara, and this month I sit down with Dione Zanotto and Alinta Chidsey aboard the Voyager of the Seas cruise ship as we were cruising back into Australia, having been around some of the islands in New Caledonia for a week doing a Queen tribute show called Rock Rhapsody. We had a ball. And on our final night, I sat down with the girls and we chatted about their careers and lives and everything in between. As usual, everything we speak about is available on the information page on the AussieTheatre.com website. And if you wanted to download, subscribe the podcast, you can on iTunes. Just a quick drop in. We didn't get to speak about this on the podcast, but Alinta will be heading a new cast for a new musical called Crossroads, written by Anthony Costanzo and Peter Fitzpatrick, which will be playing at Chapel Off Chapel in Melbourne from the 16th to the 30th of April. And it also features, you know, very well-known music theatre talent, Stephen May, Fem Belling, Ed Gray, and a whole heap of other Australian talent. If you want to get any details, you can look at chapeloffchapel.com.au. See you on the next one, guys. Hello there. I'm coming to you this evening from the Voyager, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship somewhere in the middle of the ocean. And tonight I'm going to interview two of my favourite ladies, Dione Zanotto and Alinta Chidsey. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, gorgeous.
So the backstory is Alinta and Dione and myself have been on this cruise ship for the last week or so, performing in a show called Rock Rhapsody, which is a Queen tribute show. And so I thought I'd grab the girls over a glass of wine. It's a little bit rocky out there, and we'd chat about their lives in the industry. So thanks for being guests on Ticket A42, girls.
Hello.
This is awesome. I love it.
So, what people might not know about you guys is that you have actually had, you know, massive careers. We would know that, but you've played similar roles.
We have found this out only recently. Beautiful Alinta played Anita in West Side Story, and I also did recently. And also, we played the same track in Leader of the Pack.
I know.
Didn't we? We sang the same song.
We're having parallel lives.
And you did Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yes, Dirty Dancing. I did it in Holland, but she did it in Australia.
Yes, exactly. So we had the same. Yeah, it's crazy. We have the we're lucky enough to play all these beautiful roles.
And awesome. Here you are together on Rock Rhapsody.
I know. Now we're doing this show together. It's amazing.
Now, you've both worked like all over the world. Dione, you've worked in the West End and you've worked in New York, and Alinta, you've worked all through Asia and in Holland. So tell me, have you ever performed in another language, Dione?
No, I haven't. Were you in Holland, you had to?
Yes, I had to speak in Dutch for one of the roles, which John O'Hara put my self-test down with me.
For Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. So I would speak in Dutch to him, and then he'd be like, oh, was that the end of the sentence? Oh, well, let's retake this again.
Yeah. And so what about like working on the West End? Let's talk about that for a second, Dione. What was different about that? Because you went there first from Australia before you got to America. So what was different about working on the West End to working in Australia?
Oh, gosh. With the West End, obviously there's a lot happening. There's a bunch of shows, there's lots of auditions, there's lots of great, great talent. There are also lots of Australians. I think our standard in Australia is on par with West End. It's you know, we've got amazing talent here in Australia, and our standard's really high. So it was great. I felt so good going over there representing Oz.
Yeah.
That was a little while ago now, though. Yeah, it was a good experience, though. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. And what about you, Lynn? Like, what was working in Holland like? What's the standard of show and performer like over there compared to Australia?
Well, I had the same kind of experience. I really find that Australians work hard and that we're really good at what we do. So when I came home, I was actually really excited because our work ethic and, you know, people wouldn't take six shows off really easily. Like we're martyrs. And, you know, even though we're across the seas, I think we hold our own, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we do.
And then, so let's go to Broadway for a sec. Deanne worked on Broadway. So that's like, you know, the pinnacle for lots of people. It's a pinnacle for music theatre. Sure. So what was that like?
It was nuts. It was auditioning for a chorus line. I auditioned for the cast, their first cast change. Yeah. And there were hundreds of girls in variations of different leotards and leg warmers and all kinds of things. And it was an epic couple of rounds, long days, and just hundreds of girls, because it was open dance call. So we went straight into an open dance call. You start there. Like, that's where you start. There's no EPAs. There's no principal auditions or anything like that. So
what's an EPA?
Equity principal audition.
Sure.
So there was none of that for a chorus line. It was you always started out in an open dance call. And that was eye-opening for me, just to see the volume of people, and everybody is fantastic. The girls sing their faces off, dance their faces off. It's,
So they have no face.
They're faceless. They're pretty amazing. Yeah. They're pretty amazing.
And so then you get the call that you're going to do a chorus line on Broadway.
Yeah.
Which is about dancers dancing on Broadway. Like, that's pretty epic.
Yeah, I guess. I actually went in as a vacation swing. So I knew that I was doing it for 2 weeks only. And so I had to learn a bunch of roles and just be there for that 2 weeks while three other girls went on vacation. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, they asked me to stay on for a full contract, which was really awesome. But, I guess it's like one of the most iconic shows ever. It's one of my most favourite musicals. I used to watch that. I used to watch the movie. Like, Anne Ryan King was my idol. I worshipped her. She was amazing. So, yeah, to do the show was pretty cool. It was cool.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
God, hey, I hope I get it.
Yeah, she got it.
I hope I get it. She got it. She got it.
Hey, so you girls are, like, you know, I've had lots of guests on Ticket A42, but you girls are bona fide triple threats. You are. You have to just accept that. They just both made a face at me.
Yeah.
So what I want to ask, let's start with you, Linty, is, like, is that a conscious decision? Like, was that a conscious decision that you wanted to be skilled in all areas, or was it something that just kind of happened?
I guess I started out at Centre Stage, which where I was a performing arts school, so we did singing, dancing and acting, and then I went to VCA where I trained more so in dance, and then when I had the urge, I really wanted to do musicals and I wanted to play roles. So as you know, you have to work at everything. Sometimes you even have to learn an instrument, you know. So, you know, the more strings to your bow, the more opportunity. And also I just find I get more out of it doing more acting work. You get to really delve into characters and, yeah, experience a whole different side of things.
Yeah. And what about you, Dee? Was it a conscious decision that you wanted to be singer, dancer, actor, or not necessarily in that order?
Absolutely not. I did a performing arts course, but I wanted to be a commercial dancer. That's what I wanted to do. And I remember I was at Brent Street, I was doing my performing arts course, and I think, you know, Anna Kiprios and Kelly Abbey both said to me, commercial dancing is a dying art, basically, because it was. At that time, it was really, you couldn't just make a living out of that. They certainly did, but it was a new, you know, a new wave of work was coming through, and you just couldn't make that work. So we had to do singing lessons at performing arts school, and I told my singing teacher that I didn't sing. I said, absolutely not. And he was like, best you find a song and start doing this. So I was like, oh, okay, great. And then I found a love for it during the year. Then I found a love for it. And then I almost wanted to give up dancing and just be, I just was a singer in a band for a while. And I swung to and fro, to be honest.
Yeah.
So you really got to thank that guy for getting you to singing.
Dean Lotherington.
I've got Dean Lotherington.
Yes. Dean Lotherington.
Yay.
Yeah.
And so what do I asked this, I interviewed Rachel Beck a few months back. And I said to her, what did she refer to her? Like, if someone says, what do you do? Like, what do you, because you can do so much, as Rachel Beck can as well. Like, what do you say that you are? And she said that she's like, I'm a dancer. That's what I am first and foremost. And I was, that's interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love that. Mm. I always say I'm a performer.
Yeah.
I think I say performer.
Performer.
But yeah, I'm like, I would. But when I go through customs and stuff and they, you know, you have to write your occupation, I write actor.
Yeah.
It just feels a little more
feels
formal.
Better.
Yeah, it feels more posh.
I say faker. Fake it till you make it.
I'm putting that on mine for tomorrow morning. Do you think I'll get out?
Yeah, we have to fill out these, well, you know, anyone that's been overseas would know you have to fill out these incoming Australian immigration papers. Yeah. So we're filling ours out tonight, guys.
Fakers.
We've drunk some wine.
Fakers.
Let's talk about the fact that you've both played one of the most iconic roles in music theatre. You've both played the role of Anita in West Side Story, and I saw you both play the role. You were both incredible. So is that like, are you like part of a sisterhood? Like you've played Anita?
We've formed a club, and we've sent emails out to other people who
we
played
call it the Neats Club.
The Neats.
So you've did you both do the actual Corrie, the original Corrie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. We had the one from Broadway, so it was, you know, made you work.
Gotcha. What did you love about being Anita? I mean, it's such a great role for a woman. So what did you love about it?
I think she represents strength and she's sexy and she's the smartest person in the entire play of West Side Story. And yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
She's possibly the only one that knows what's going on.
She wears the pants.
She wears the pants. She does. And there was something so wonderful about playing such a strong like woman, because there are not enough of those roles.
Yes, no victims. Thank you.
Writers out there, write us some more strong characters.
And so, so for you, Dee, like you played opposite your lovely husband, correct?
Yeah, that was hard. That was terrible.
Is it Adam John Fiorentino or just Adam Fiorentino these
days? I think
days?
It's Adam John.
Adam John Fiorentino. Hi there. So let's talk about that for a second. Like, how was it playing opposite your hubby?
It was fabulous. Yeah. We had obviously a rhythm and a knowing and a relationship that, you know, we didn't have to, well, let's face it, we didn't have the time anyway to work that out. We had 2 weeks to put it on. So lucky. And we'd played opposite each other before in Saturday Night Fever. So I love playing opposite him. He's a brilliant actor and he's not too hard on the eye. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
You did make a baby.
We get that soon. And you played with Nigel Carroll Turner as your hubby. How was that? So that, I mean, because you guys were mates before the show, right?
Yeah, well, we hadn't actually worked together, but you know, as actors you have to be so open. So, and he's very easy to get along with and very open to workshopping things and trialing, you know, ideas. So, I mean, he's a great actor, dancer.
He's terrible looking. He's horrible to look at.
So
hideous looking man. There must be something. Do they have BO or something must be bad about them?
Let's go with that.
So speaking of being a mum, we spoke just a minute ago about being a mum and you working with your hubby. So how do you negotiate your own, or navigate, not really negotiate, how do you navigate having a relationship with someone in the industry who you also do as well, Inter. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a sec. But, how do you navigate being in a relationship with someone in the industry and now you're, like, pretty new parents? How's all that going?
It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
I when we both got West Side Story, we just looked at each other and went, how are we going to make that work?
Like, Hudson would have been how old?
How old would he have been? He was just over one, so he was just probably 13 months, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was hard. I had not been away from him for that amount of time during rehearsals every day. It was such a new thing for me. But we made it work, I guess, and you just work it out, make it work, find ways. We have great grandparents, so thank God for them. Thank God we're in Melbourne. And yeah, he's a great kid, so lucky.
And how is your body going back in, having had a child, and then you get back on stage? Like, were you stronger? Did you find that things were different?
I did, actually. Yeah. I did. It took me a little bit to get back in my body. I've done a lot of personal training, so I think straight after I had Hudson, I went straight back to work personal training. So I was lucky that my body I gained strength back, and I was lucky in that. But my body felt definitely different. Mm. Like, even to dance, I hadn't danced like that in a long time. So I hadn't put my chorus heels on and danced around the lounge room like doing the mambo for a very long time with a glass of wine in my hand. Yes, it felt different. Yes, it felt good. And even that was that was another learning curve, just to work out, okay, it was like having a new body. Mm. And so, yeah, it was good.
Sweet as, bro. Only to Chitsy, you also have a showbiz husband.
Yes.
Although he'd probably hate us saying showbiz, wouldn't
he? Because
he's a jazz musician.
Jazz.
So how does that work? Like, so Remco, who is Dutch, for the listeners out there, how do you guys, like, figure your way through touring and being away from each other and, you know, being in the same industry?
Well, when we first met, we had to do long distance because he was from Holland. And so we did it for 2 years. And so anyone who says they can't do long distance, you can. And that's our industry. Obviously, you have to make a choice at some stage and someone has to move. So Skype is amazing. Thank you, God, for Skype.
I agree.
Because without that, I don't know how we would have survived in the beginning. You know, snail mail, that would not have done it. For me, it's all about communication. You've got to be able to talk to each other and be open with everything that's going on. And if someone can negotiate to be with the other person at some stage, then just do it, because time is everything. And yeah, money doesn't come into account. We had so many flights that we paid for internationally in that first couple of years, so that was a very expensive time, but hey, it was worth it. And if he can be on a show like in Hugh Jackman, then amazing, because he can play.
You and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was in the orchestra.
Yay,
so he was sweating just as much as I was, which is great. And that's just a bonus for us to be able to play in the same show. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah. And so, we all know in the business that, you know, we aren't always under contract, so we've got to, like, have other stuff that we can do. Mm-hmm. And so you and Ram have started a band, which is, like, pinging around Melbourne, called Alinta and the Jazz Emperors. So, like, tell us a bit about that, and that's a whole nother direction for you, and you're just like one of the gigging bands around Melbourne now.
I guess I've always wanted to have a band, and we always talked about it, and we didn't do it for ages, and then finally we're like, okay, let's do it. It actually happened out of a friend's birthday, how it happened. And I also think it's really important as a performer to have other things going on, you know, not just musicals or not just, you know, TV or film, whatever it is, because I feel like it makes you more sane and can deal with things like rejection in the industry. And I love it. It keeps me performing, and I am my own boss in this, whereas, you know, in a lot of shows we're working for someone else, and it just gives you a bit of your own grunt and your own power to control those things. And I absolutely love it, and I recommend it to anyone, and it's great experience.
And so we'll put, like, the information for Alinta and the Jazz Emperors on the information page if anyone wants to catch a gig. They're awesome. I've seen them a few times. And you're, like, you not only have you lived in America and in the West End, but you've also like become a fitness instructor, you know, and that's pretty amazing. So tell us a little bit about Body by Simone BBS, which you put a linter and I through our paces the fitness studio on the boat this morning.
It was intense. Intense.
We're all very sore. So yeah, like let's talk about BBS.
Well, I've always been in fitness. So even when I was putting myself through performing arts school, I was running a gym in Balmain at the same time. So I would go there, I would open the gym and I would do two classes and then I would go to performing arts and I would dance all day and then I'd go back to the gym and then I'd do another class and then I would close the gym. That's what I did for the year.
Insane. Oh my God.
She don't stop.
No. Well, I was paying my way through, so you had to do something. So yeah, I always had a hand in fitness. And then my beautiful best friend, Simone Delarue, she'd sort of changed direction. She was working in the fitness industry in New York. I just finished a contract. I was doing Chicago in Hong Kong. She called me up and she said, I really need your help. I'm sort of personal training and I need your help. I need you to come and do this with me. And so the two of us started doing it. She sort of showed me what she was doing and she'd created this really cool technique, a lot of dance cardio and sort of using small hand weights and stuff. And yeah, now she's got an empire, which is amazing, BBS, and she, you know, we train a lot of, you know, well-known clients, and I love it. I actually sort of took a break from performing for a couple of years and just solely did that, which was really good for my brain and good for my body. Mm. Yeah, and it was good. It was good to just do something else. Like Alinda said, it's nice to have something else sometimes to focus on. Then, you know, when something doesn't come through or a contract doesn't come through, you're like, okay, well, I've got this now and I'm doing this. And, yeah, it's great to have something else, yeah. another trick in your bag of tricks.
Well, I think you should do it in Australia because it's really good.
I will pass it on to someone.
Ladies, that's the hard stuff over. Now we just do the Ticket F42 test.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that accent.
I don't know what it is.
One of you Puerto Rican.
Because we're Anita. So the first thing is, so we got to share this test, but we'll just, you know, answer for answer. So the first is just called The Kid in A42, which references the name of the show. And, you know, I was sitting in the Regent Theatre in Melbourne in ticket A42 when I knew that I wanted to be in the show. So I had an epiphany moment. Did you girls have an epiphany moment where you knew that you wanted to do it?
Yep. When I saw Chicago, which Dionne was in that cast with Caroline O'Connor. Yeah.
So I'm suddenly feeling about 105.
Nice. I've always loved Dionne's performance.
I love it too.
I love you guys.
I feel like a bit of a fangirl because we're like doing the show with Dionne's mother.
Right now.
Yeah, so Chicago was yours.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're yet to do it, but there's time. There's time.
That's right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make a fabulous, either Roxy or Velma, you could do both.
Babes. Yeah, we should do it together.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should. Actually, we should.
Any producers out there? Yeah. GFO, it's time to bring it back. Come on. We all come up. Dionne, a moment.
Yeah, mine was, I was 10 years old. I was seeing Cats for the first time. And my, I know, and my dance teachers at the time, we got three tickets, but there was one ticket that was really good, so I got to sit all the way down the front. Maybe it was A40s, I don't know, maybe it was in that same seat. And I remember the music went down, so I was sitting by myself, yeah. And the music started and the lights went down, and all of a sudden these big red eyes were in my face, and I freaked out. And at interval I got to go up on stage and I got to hold the tail.
Oh, hand.
Yeah, no, the tail, hand. Yep, yeah. The tail. And I knew, I was like, I have to be in this show, which I've never done.
You've never done Cats?
No.
That's crazy.
You'd be
you've
amazing, yes.
Yeah, you've done Cats. You guys John. Did
do that. We did Cats together.
I was.
I couldn't do it now. You'd have to roll me out in a stretcher.
That's a lie.
No. That is
bull. I got it. But, yeah, that was my moment.
Cool. Tell me, what's got your goat, Dionne Zanotto?
That's such a funny expression that I haven't heard for such a long time. What's got your goat? What's got my goat? Mm. What gets on my goat?
Mm, anything.
Oh, okay. People cutting their nails on the train.
Yuck.
That's disgusting. It used to happen in New York a lot.
Yuck. Alinta, what's got you goat?
People who whinge. I just cannot. I mean, it sounds like I'm whinging about the whinges. But, yeah, I just shut
don't.
Up.
Just don't. Just don't.
Okay, I'm down with that. I'm down. Don't whinge. Tell me, so superstition. This is called very superstitious. So us in the biz sometimes can get a bit superstitious about our kind of backstage traffic or pre-show ritual or post-show ritual or during show rituals. Do you guys, are you guys those kind of performers or you're not? You're just like, absolutely, whatever.
Absolutely not. I would go insane if I was superstitious.
Yeah. What about you, Dee?
I won't whistle side stage. I won't do that.
Because so when we're doing the show together, I go.
No, because I really like the backstory about that. Like, you know, when they used to do the flies and the whistling, and if you whistle, then you get a big set fall on you and you're dead.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool backstory. So I don't whistle, just in case the flyman drops a set on my head and I die. That's amazing. And I also don't say the
M word.
Yeah, I won't say that in the theatre.
Okay. We're not in the theatre, so I'm just going to say it. So people know what it is.
Oh my god, we're in a ship. We could sink
McDonald's.
it's not McDonald's, but it's Mc something else. Yeah.
We're in a ship. We could die. Okay, we could sink.
We could totally.
Yeah. Tell me the five things you can't live without, Dio and Zanotto.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't live without either of you because you both let me deodorant this entire week. my son. I couldn't live without my son. Oh, my husband, actually. I couldn't live without my. What else? Why am I first? I can't even think about this. Yeah, my son, my husband. What else? I don't know if I need anything else.
That's good.
My son, my husband, and maybe $50 to grab a martini or something.
That's the best five things I can't believe that I've ever had. My son, my husband, and $50. It's the best. And John and Alinta. Yeah. Alinta, what are your five things you can't live without?
Well, it usually would be food.
So true.
Food. My man, of course. My family. My beautiful cat Jetson. I love him. Humor is like the biggest. I love people who make me laugh. I think that's five.
I think you're up to seven count? Or something.
Amazing.
Food.
How many lines have we had?
Yeah. Tell me about a diva tanty that you've seen or thrown in the theatre. You don't have to mention names, but we've all seen some. Come on.
I don't know if I can say.
I think
have to edit this out if it's not.
Yeah, no, we'll edit that one out. You're going to talk about the one that we were both at. Yeah, no, let's not talk about that.
Talk about that off air. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I've seen someone rip someone's wig off.
Yeah, wow. What continent?
Asia.
I love. Have you thrown one, Alinta?
No. I'd be honest if I had.
You haven't slammed a door. Have you slammed a door? I've slammed a door.
Slammed a door. Not at the theatre.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Well, there was this one time.
A band camp.
We were talking about it the other day. It was quite funny and totally legit. When we were doing Leader of the Pack, and these two girls were going on their merry little way on their table, whistling and chatting about Roger Corser when we were doing it. And halfway through the scene, Amanda Harrison, love you, Mandy, she said, "Can you please stop talking? We're acting here."
That's brilliant.
That was a good moment.
I admire that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And she felt bad about it after. She did feel bad about it after because she was like, I came out of the scene. So she's a pro.
Yeah. Love you, Hazza. Yeah.
Phone a friend. Who do you call if it's like good news, bad news, need advice?
Kate Wormald.
Apart from my husband, I would call my friend Claudia.
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 Lovely. Let's talk about showmancers and show crushes and, you know, the old, you know, we all get them. We were talking about one you had the other week, the other day. Who's your biggest show crush that you're willing to kind of share? Well, I guess yours is your husband, right? She's like, nah.
Actually, no. I always have a show crush.
Yeah.
I always, always, always have a show crush. I love them because they're so, they are really exciting and it's fun. And I always tell Adam about them. I'm always like, oh my God, I've got a show crush. And he's like, really? Okay, who is it? So it's always fun for me.
Yeah.
Who's my biggest? Ask Alinta, let me think.
Oh,
who's your show? Do you get him?
Love, you know, everyone's
Hugh
talented.
Jackman, was he your show crush?
Well, I think it's everyone. I mean, Huey Babes.
He was my show crush. I wasn't even in the show.
Yeah, he is incredible. Like, he's just so beautiful. And, of course, everyone loves him. So, yep, he would definitely be
Hugh Jackman.
There.
That's it. That's it. Have you decided?
Kane Alexander used to be my show crush in Footloose.
Yes!
And then I ended up with my husband, so it all worked out.
Awesome. So, Jeannie grants you 3 wishes. Alinta, what are they?
I wish I could fly.
Yes.
I believe I can fly. I wish I could eliminate poverty.
Good one.
Good one.
World peace.
And that Donald Trump isn't going to be elected.
Actually, that's
he's not, though, wishes. Right? He's not.
Please.
I'm going to run with that, actually. I want Hillary to get the presidency. Like, I just want that has to happen.
Oh, actually, I've got another one.
You've got another one? I just wish for joy and happiness and contentment.
Contentment. What's your other one, Liz?
Reconciliation. The Aboriginal community has been completely obliterated and not acknowledged in our land. And just working with the Nomads recently on the Hugh Jackman tour, I got to know them and I felt it was really sad as an Australian to not have had a connection with Aboriginal people before this moment for me. And I really made effort into wanting to know more about them and keeping connection with them and making people aware.
And that section of that show was breathtaking. Yeah. You didn't see it, did you?
No.
Oh my God. The man who sang that solo was
Clifton.
Clifton's who? We need to find his name.
He's very long.
I'll put it on the information page. He was one of the most incredible tenors I've ever heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, America's screwed anyway, so. Yeah. Okay.
Bring on.
That's really.
Yeah. So this is called Switcheroo, and it's your chance to ask Jay O'Hara a question. Yeah, you can ask me a question. Anything you want. Do you want to go first, or do you want to go first? Or you can ask me one together.
Who was your show crush?
Oh, yeah.
I get show crushes all the time. My first real show crush was Mitchell Buteel.
Aww.
Yeah.
Was my show crush in Saturday Night Fever too.
Yeah. Mine was on Hair and it was my first job and he was like, I played kind of opposite him for one section of the show. He could have told me to do anything and I would have done it. Like, I was like a puppy dog. And he knows, so we're good mates now. Yeah.
What role would you love to play?
Lots of roles.
Lots of roles.
I don't know. Something cool and contemporary and new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite female lead in a musical? In Australia.
Like my favorite, my favorite leading lady. Alinta Chitsy and Dion's another.
Good answer. You passed the test.
I passed the ticket F42 test. All right, tell me about a secret skill each of you has that no one knows about. What do people not know that Alinta Chitsy can do?
I make a really good chili mussel dish.
Great. Great.
Want to come for dinner?
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
I think that's the one. I'm trying to think of something a bit more obscure. I can make trumpet sounds.
What about you?
I learnt to be a swimming teacher when I was in between teaching aerobics classes and doing performing arts. I also learnt to be a swimming teacher. So if anyone needs to learn to swim, I'm your girl.
What level can you teach up to?
I'm thinking like Olympic medalists. I like could have been a coach probably for the Olympic team.
I reckon you should coach us to swim off this boat.
They reckon we're close to Australia.
I'm about to jump off and just swim to my son right now.
I could do survival backstroke.
Yeah.
So we're now at the end of the Ticket A 42 test, which means the podcast is nearly over. What a fun time we've had. It's been very giggly. This is the last thing. It's called This or That. It's just quick questions. You pick one. It says a lot about your personalities. Okay, here we go.
At the same time?
Yeah, just kind of yell them out. Okay. Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
Oh, no, that's mean.
Mum.
Black or white?
Black.
In or out?
In.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
We're always the same, all of those except
beer or wine?
What?
Brine.
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 Brine. Ew, I hate that.
Tuna.
No, wine.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Pepper.
Boxes or briefs?
Wait,
it can mean in any way. Like, do you like them on other people better or?
Briefs.
Christmas or birthdays?
Birthdays.
Kisses.
Oh, no, I really like Christmas too. Oh, Libran. I'm a Libran. I'm struggling.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Mates or dates?
Mates.
Day or night?
Day.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
You.
You two are like children.
It's fantastic. Like dipping ducks.
Hey guys, that's it. We've had a ball. What a ball. This is the February Ticket
Let's
42.
Let's do it again.
Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. Linta and Dione will, I'm sure, be around during the year. And all the information that we've talked about will be on the information page. They're both on Instagram if you want to, say hi to them. Yours is at?
Dione
Zanotto. And yours is at?
Alinta, that's it.
Ah, brilliant.
Alinta.
Are you on Twitter?
Yes.
Yep.
same handles?
Kind of. Alinta underscore Chidzy.
Okay.
I've got no idea.
Okay. We'll put it on the information page. But thanks so much for joining us on the podcast, girls. See you later.
Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.